I think that the Christmas Billy Gunn teaser is the route here.
Give you something to do while you're at your in-laws. Because, you know, because I like the timing and the sequence of teasers too. And you know that there's no sweat to that Green Bay bet. The Green Bay is no sweat. Taking it from -7 to -1, that's a no sweat, bro. No sweat. The sweat is in the Zona. So now you'll have been at the in-laws for a few hours. You're like, all right, and then it's that gambling buzz is gonna kick in, and you're gonna be like, hell yeah.
All right, let's do this. When I pretend everything is what I want it to be, I look exactly like what you would always wanted to see. When I pretend I can forget about the criminal I am, stealing second after second just cause I know I can. But I can't pretend this is the way it'll stay. I'm just trying to bend the truth. I can't pretend I'm who you want me to be, so I'm
nigga gone, brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too, go on, brush your shoulders off. Niggas is crazy, baby, don't forget that boy told you get that.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and I am your host, Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of our friends here at the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And with me tonight is a good friend of mine, a fellow podcaster. He is a handicapper. He's a heavy, heavy football wagering guy, basketball wagering guy, and I like that. I like shows when we're going to get into the nitty gritty nuances of wagering, and I think it's important, T, that you're on tonight because we're going to have the chance to do that. I just want to, you know, thank you again for your time. This is like your third or fourth appearance on the show. I can't remember, but you're one of my favorite guests, man. I'm glad to have you here. You know your shit. You approach it from a different angle than I do, and I really appreciate that. I have this weird personality type. When I see something that's different from me in some way, I like to really run towards it, right? And I enjoyed your show when you did it, and I'm excited to hear you on some podcasts more coming up in the future. We'll talk about that off air. I meant to ask you something before we started. Oops. But welcome to the show, man. How you been?
I've been doing all right. You know, getting ready for the holidays. The Saints are giving us some newfound hope, which I'm sure will be crushed in a few short weeks. But enjoying the ride while we're on it. On a bit of a heater with the gambling, which we can get into, of course. And just...
Oh, you're on a heater. Okay. Yeah, no, you are on a heater. We're both on heaters.
Simmering on the back burner.
I see it. Hot. I see it, dude. Feels good, right?
Yeah. You know, and like you said, you definitely have a different approach than I do, but you gotta my favorite corporate buzzword line with that is get comfortable with the uncomfortable, which every manager ever has ever told you. So
right. Yeah, the thing, and I know like you said, you're on a heater, I'm on a heater. I was up 21 units. On Sunday.
One day alone.
And hit a teaser, hit a 2 out of 3 legs money line underdog parlay. Like 2 of the 3 legs were underdogs. And then one favorite. That was like an 8-to-1 return. And you know, just some different things happened, like right before the Carolina game, when the kicker injured himself in the pregame warmups, it was clear like Carolina was not going to be able to kick the ball, and they were about to get their asses handed to them. And I immediately placed like every game prop bet that you can place, anti field goal. Total field goals in the game, both teams combined, 3.5, take the under. First score of the game, is it going to be a touchdown or a field goal? It's not going to be a field goal. Take the, you know, like all of it. First score, and who did Carolina play this past week?
They were in Buffalo.
Buffalo. Buffalo was, you knew Buffalo was, I mean, dominant, ran all over. Just
10.5 or 9.5 point favorites, I think, at kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just like all over it, hammered every anti-field goal line I could hit. All of those came in. There was a very exploitable line on Taysom Hill over under 19 and a half completions. That hit. I know you and I hit the same bet. You and I hit the same bet. Saints money line.
Yeah, I felt plus 400. Dirty winning that.
I did. Like that's how you win. That's what you do. By the way, T is a huge Saints fan from the Northeast. Huge Saints fan. He's got all kinds of Saints memorabilia. But I mean, this guy's a legit Saints fan. Don't feel dirty for that. Don't feel dirty for the Saints money line.
I almost never bet on the Saints. I do a few fun props on them, but I like to watch the game with no other motives, just enjoying and rooting for the team. But I was feeling a little good, a little lubed up and drinking a little bit at my family's house for an early Christmas, and we were watching the game together. And I said, you know what? They own Brady. I'm taking advantage of this. Put a few units on the Saints money line, paid out 4.5 to 1.
Yeah.
So that is going to fuel my and supply my betting for the rest of this week. So
right. Love it when that happens.
Thank you, Cam Jordan.
Thank you, Cam Jordan. And then you didn't, because I texted you that Taysom bet before kickoff.
Yeah, under 19 and a half.
Yeah.
Was it completions or a 10?
Completions.
Yeah, that's a high number.
Yeah. That's somebody doesn't know what the fuck they're doing setting that line. And I watched that line. I grabbed it. I thought it was going to be heavily juiced. I grabbed it at minus 108 at like 11:30 a.m. that day, not long after it got published. And by 3 or 4 o'clock, it was up to minus 130, minus 135.
See, with prop bets, it's how I kind of look at it is they are huge storyline-driven bets. You really have to have a good feel of how the game's going to play out to make those confidently. So I get, whenever it's the standalone game, so a Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, I get a little aggressive with the props just because you want action on almost every play. That's kind of how I look at it, where I'm really invested. Because otherwise, I don't really care until the last 5 or 10 minutes for a spread or an over-under. With the props, you're kind of invested the whole way. But I kind of take it at, like, to a crazy extent where I'm really relying on like the Saints game, that line for 19 and a half, the books are thinking that the Saints stink, the Bucs are good. Taysom Hill's going to have to throw a lot to keep up. The game's going to be, Bucs are going to be able to score. And it went completely against that script, which worked out for you, but that's come to burn me multiple times.
But in the script, it's an ill-informed script because again, you and I as Saints fans, we watch the Saints so much. Taysom Hill is completing slightly over 50% of his passes. Like he's not having a very efficient outing completion percentage wise. He had completed over 20 complete. I think he'd done 21 of, or close to 20, a 17 of 41. I mean, there was no reason he was going to get there. There's no you had to factor. He might take 40 attempts. It would take 40 attempts for even him to, you know, even get close to that.
Right. Unless he's dinking and dunking to Kamara or Ingram or tight ends like out of the, in the flats or something. But it's like, I mean, you and I know, but I'm saying these books, I don't think they know it on such a local level like we do.
Right. So that's the catch 22, because I already heard you say, I don't like to bet on the Saints, but that's the team that you know more about, man.
Yeah, but so I've heard theories about betting on your own team. So if people do this one thing, which bugs the absolute shit out of me, sorry to swear, taking the over fans.
Oh, yeah, you should swear all you want.
It's when I've heard this thing where they bet against their favorite team so that either way they're happy. Either their team wins or they make money.
I do that.
I hate that.
You're talking about me.
I call it an insurance bet. That's cheating.
I did it when I went to Nashville.
That is hedging happiness.
I paid for my tickets with my money line.
God, I just can't bring myself to do it. And I'll bet on the Pelicans for basketball. I bet on them every single night. I do a same game parlay every single game they play, and I win about 75% of them because I watch them every single night. I know exactly what the stat lines are going to be almost every night.
You're hitting them good?
It's like Jonas Valanciunas over 10.5 rebounds is automatic. Double-double automatic. and you combine that with like a Devontae Graham two or three threes, and you're gotten at plus 150 odds already.
Huh. Yeah, I know. I mean, I see your work, man. You're legit. Where can the listeners at T-Man Amongst Boys on Twitter?
Yeah, I post all of my NFL bets for Thursday night, and then a Sunday slate of best bets. And then I'll usually just tweet my Monday night games. I don't feel like making a whole graphic. You can also follow me on the Action Network. I have an account there and verified on the Action Network with verified plays, so you can check those out as well.
Sweet. I mentioned in play in game. I fell in love all over again with in game in play betting this past week, and had some good success with that. In fact, I did that last night on the Tuesday night game between the football team and the Eagles. And at kickoff, Eagles were a 10-point favorite. They'd grown to minus 10, 10-point favorite. It hung around, I mean, 7.5 for most of the week, 8. There was some COVID uncertainty. The COVID cert was like a shitload of football team had COVID. You know, you had, was it something Gilbert, Garrett Gilbert,
They were down to their third quarterback, yeah. Garrett Gilbert. Yeah. I think he was on the Cowboys most recently, and yeah. He was on the Patriots practice squad.
Yeah. A guy off the streets,
bad.
Basically. He did. I mean, he was guaranteed to look bad.
Yeah.
And that line was minus 10 to the Eagles at kickoff. Eagles come out, two bad turnovers deep in their own territory, handing the ball back to football team. Football team goes up 10-0. Eagles get back to 10-10 pretty methodically over the next quarter of the game. And with about 2 minutes, right at 2 minutes to go in the game, and everything's tied at 10-10 now. It's basically, you've had a reset. The announcers say, like, oh, this one's been reset. No, it hasn't been reset, because now we have all the knowledge. All of our suspicions have been confirmed. Football team is not, yeah, they were right to be a 10-point underdog, and Philly just happened. It's like, if you were developing an algorithm for it or formula for it, what you'd look for would be things like turnovers, right? Field position. This is just little variables you're tossing in your machine, right? And it hit those criteria. They had handed the ball over to football team on a silver platter twice in their own territory, and all they got out of it was 10 points, and looked like the goofiest, bumblingest 10 points I've ever seen. And the in-game line with 2 minutes, when it's been reset, 2 minutes left in the second quarter, that in-game line was minus 4.5. To the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on
it. And I loaded into that. I loaded into that.
Those are all the things you look at, too, not even from a live betting standpoint, but it kind of over or under inflates lines a bunch. Because, you know, the casual bettor looks at what final scores.
They can just miss it.
Yeah.
They can just miss it. It's like missing the Taysom thing. They just miss that. I was talking to a bookmaker the other day, and he goes, the live is exploitable. If you pay attention to a game, if you know it's and I want to do that tonight, because it's like some of these games, you know, we don't bet every game on the show. Right. I don't have a good read on all of them. I don't feel obligated to make a pick in all of them. But I want to do something tonight where when we go through all the games, I want to ask the question, because you said these prop bets are storyline driven. I would also surmise that these in-play, in-game live bets are storyline driven too, but it's a story that you've already watched unfold. And so looking at these games, the ones you don't have a read on, what are the questions that you want answered?
Yeah.
In order to have a read.
My thing with the in-game or live betting is I have a big question in how are these lines generated? Is there actually a bookmaker scrambling to put these together, or is it some sort of computer algorithm that is just adjusting on the fly?
Good question.
Because there's a lot of pressure to make sure it's good, right? Because you're putting your book at risk if someone
it's so rapid. And another reason why I want to talk about in-game, in-play, live betting is, to me, that's we have casinos, sports books in Louisiana now. It's legal. Everybody's got a book. That's not the same experience as sitting at home on your phone, watching a game, betting in real time after you've been watching the narrative of that game. To me, and that the, now the target date for the apps to start launching in Louisiana is January the 15th. So to me, that's when it gets real for everybody. This isn't real yet. The average Joe's still not even fucking with it. But once didn't y'all just get apps where you're at?
Right, yeah, we have three. We have DraftKings, FanDuel, and SugarHouse. Because in the state of Connecticut, there are tribal rights to any and all gambling. So that was the big legal battle. So there's two major casinos, and each one has one of the sports books. They have the in-house actual book you can go to, or you have the apps. But it's even on the app, it's linked to the casino itself because they get a huge, I think it's close to 50% of the tax revenue.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, that's sweet. That's a sweet deal for.
When I was in New Orleans for the Saints Bills game, I went to Harris quite a few times and I had a little extra money. I said, you know what? If I win this, how do I claim this if I'm not in state? You can mail in your slip.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to mail in a winning slip on the New York Rangers to beat the Boston Bruins that I watched on the plane ride home. And mail it back to Harris. So I'm still waiting for that check. I may never see it.
Check's in the mail, yeah.
Yeah, it's 7 to 10 days. I know that is very generous.
That might not work in New Orleans, dude.
Yeah, 7 to 10 months.
Yeah. 7 to 10 months?
No, 7 to 10 days, but I think it's more realistically going to be 7 to 10 months.
7 to 10 months. I think once you get past that 10-day period, it's over. It ain't coming.
Yeah. So, I mean, I keep checking the mail and all I get is Christmas cards. No check from Harris.
I get pretty glossy pictures of Drew Brees endorsing casinos, like on a nice placard.
Oh, boy. He's a mold and everything, so.
Yeah.
If there's a product to sell, Drew Brees' mold is on it.
He redeemed himself with me Sunday night when he was the lone analyst to pick the Saints.
You know he couldn't do it. If he picked the Bucks.
Oh, my God. If he'd have picked the Bucks. I mean, yeah, that's true. Really, did he really even do anything?
Do you think they actually care about their records on the Pick'em records on Sunday Night Football? Drew, man, he's that competitive.
He's got a pretty – I think he's in the lead. I don't know.
You're picking against Chris Sims, who doesn't know anything about football.
That's true. And Collinsworth's kid. And yeah, that's a shit show. All right, man. You ready to talk about some football?
Let's do it.
This week we got, you know, games Thursday. We got two games Saturday on Christmas. We got games Sunday. We got games Monday. Who knows? COVID and Omicron's on the loose. You know, we might get some Tuesdays, some Wednesdays. I think these
Wednesday
networks,
matinee football.
Dude, these networks are going to figure out that having, you know, 30 million people or whatever, you know, 30 million people watch fucking football on a Tuesday night that wouldn't be watching, you know, instead of 8 million watching The Voice or whatever. Like,
yeah, I like it. Obviously, it's another thing to gamble on. It's football. It's my favorite sport to watch. But it does get to a point where it's almost oversaturated and loses its, like, specialness. Like, you wait all week for that Thursday night game, and then now you have it on Tuesday also. I just wasn't into it last night for some reason. Not as much as I usually am.
I don't know. For me, maybe it's the holidays. I'm starting to, you know, you associate the holidays with football and, I don't know. I mean, college football's something bad's happening in college football right now. Something very bad's happening in college football right now. And at the same time, I still enjoy college football, SEC football, but like, and it used to be associated bowl games with this time of year, but it's really coming back to NFL for me because of the four nights a week it's on.
Yeah, there's a bowl game every night or every day and night until a few days after New Year's.
Yeah, LSU is one of the last ones on the 4th.
Yeah, and they just added another bowl. It's like a totally generic, like, Texas bowl that's at the end because they had two extra eligible
teams. Yeah, that's the one LSU's in.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They canceled the Gator Bowl today.
I saw. They're trying to find an opponent for the Florida Gators to play because Texas A&M has COVID issues, but they can't just take any team. It has to be another bowl eligible team.
It has to be a bowl eligible opponent. Team. Yeah.
back out. So
it's a shit show, man.
It is, but not to toot my own horn, I am on a 9-2 start with bowl season.
Well, I want to say this. I placed one wager the moment the Final Four, the BCS semifinals got announced. I saw Atlanta minus four, or I'm sorry, I saw Alabama. I saw Alabama minus 14 and said, yes, thank you. I'll have $100 of that. You know. And with the thinking that line was going to grow, because when is the public ever not pushing Alabama, right?
Right.
And like I saw with Alabama last year against Notre Dame, public's stupid on when it comes to that shit, you know? Hold on, my cat's destroying something. Motherfucker was destroying my AirPods.
Everything's a toy for a cat.
I jumped all over Alabama minus 14. It's since come to Alabama minus 13.5. And it's been sitting there for a while. I don't feel bad about minus 14 at all.
No, with college, the NFL, I generally will either only take a double-digit underdog or not bet on a side at all. But in college, those spreads are, you know, you see them 33, 27, yeah. 14 yeah. for Alabama against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Good season, but yeah. It's they're an coming, entirely they're, different world.
They're coming off beating Georgia by how much? You know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me, man. All right. Thursday night football here with the Thursday night king. The king of Thursday night himself. San Francisco is traveling to Tennessee. Of course, there's going to be COVID concerns and injury concerns all over the place. It looks like Tennessee's getting A.J. Brown back, and they're also getting back one of their starting corners were activated off injured reserve today. I'm a mark for Tennessee, always have been. Tennessee, I think, is like 1-4 against the spread in their last five, something pretty ugly like that. San Francisco's been looking strong. That's why San Francisco's coming in as a 3.5-point road favorite. Tennessee being a 3.5-point home dog. The book I'm looking at, T, and for the most of the lines tonight, we're just going to support your local business and support your local neighborhood Spider-Man and go with a line like that. But it's juiced pretty heavily. So if you take Tennessee plus 3.5, it's juiced to minus 120 versus if you took San Francisco minus 3.5, it's even, an even return.
Yeah. It opened at 2. It's all the way up to 3, 3.5. It's initial money as of Wednesday. It's looking 65-ish% of tickets are on the 49ers, but almost 70% of the actual handle and the money is on Tennessee. Do with that information what you will, but that is always a strong indicator for me.
Well, we got into this a little bit the last time you were on. I mean, fade the public used to be the mantra, but fade the public, it's a different day. The public is different now.
Yeah, it's the first half of the year. It was went against that traditional, like you said, fade the public, and it wasn't really a strong indicator. But recently, it's been kind of returning to the mean, and it's become more profitable. The money is actually pretty successful this year. I wouldn't say super successful, but over 55% in terms of as being an indicator, I call it, for a winner.
Right.
I like the Titans getting 3, 3.5 at home. I think it's the smart play, but the smarter play of Thursday night is going to be the over at 44.
Yeah. Yeah.
Niners are scoring a lot of points. Titans can give you 20. I really have the score projected at like a 24-23 San Francisco, which gives you about 47. Anytime I can get that much value over what the line is, I'm going to have to go for it. So over 44 is what my like quote unquote official play will be.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick a side, I'm going to go Titans as well. The home dog getting over a field goal, hopefully.
What if you did this? Okay. Because for the folks that have never heard T on the show before, you're a smart better, right? Well, I didn't call you a sharp. I called you a smart.
That is fair. And my whole betting mantra, my whole mindset on it is stick to a specific, I don't call it a system, but I'll stick to a specific set of rules I follow. And over time, they're going to be profitable. Even if it doesn't look like it's the right play, it's worked for me in the past and it'll work for me again. If I stick to being consistent, I'm going to win more times than I'm not.
Well, I want to try and make you stupid then. So let's do this.
You probably can. So.
Okay. I like what you're selling and I want you to buy some of what I'm selling. Why don't we just take Tennessee from 3.5? From 3.5 to 9.5. Let's tease them 6. Let's tease them 6. Alarms. And then you know what? Let's tease it 7. That's going to be like, what, minus 130? Let's tease it 7. I mean, shit, I'm already getting minus 120 on my money if I'm taking Tennessee with the spread. So yeah. why don't I get a little more creative and I give Tennessee 7 to take them to Tennessee plus 10.5. Then you take that 44 down to 37 and take the over. Let's tease it 7.
I mean,
will you get stupid with me?
I'll dumb myself down a bit for you, but I'm just not generally a fan of the teasers because of the lost value. But you make a great point in that you're not really getting all that good value anyway. That's why I'll go with the over. It was like minus 110, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's a huge piece that most gamblers do not look at, especially with all of, we've talked about it before, all the new bettors in the marketplace, so to speak. They don't look at the actual value you're getting. They don't look at the fact that there's a difference between minus 120 and minus 110.
Right. And then shit, if I'm going to play and get creative and link to and tease them 6 or 7, I'm looking at minus 130. Oh, wow. Versus minus 120 if I just take Tennessee plus 3.5. And like the new public, we're not just going to run around being willy-nilly with teasers, right? Because that's how idiots lose their money. But as you know, and I hope the listeners, if they don't already know, they're learning right now, you want to look for 3s, 7s, 10s. You want to cross thresholds. And that's specifically why I want to do a 7-point teaser on this game rather than a 6. To cross the 10 and put a 10.5, give that hook to 10 and make 10 more powerful. Make that 7's a lot more powerful than that 6. And I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to go from minus 120. I mean, you could tease it. Minus 120 is a 6-point teaser. Shit, that's the same as the juice on the regular spread.
I have an idea, and you can tell me if it's smart or stupid or a little bit of both. Most books are going to give you an alternate total and alternate side in the same game parlay. You could do an alternate side of Tennessee plus 10 or plus 10.5, and an alternate total, I'd be comfortable going up to anything below 47. That's usually where majority of games finish at or around. So you could do Tennessee plus 10.5 over 46.5, still maintain value, but getting the points on Tennessee. But you're relying on a higher total, obviously.
Well, but the line, the odds on that alternate, you're looking, it's going to be something like minus. It's not going to be -1. It's going to be -250.
Right. Parlayed with the higher value on the over, though, you'll probably get closer to a plus 100. I'll do some quick calculations for you, and we can see how it'll look right now.
I think the teaser is going to do it better. I really do.
Plus 125 value of over 46.5, Tennessee plus 10.5 parlayed.
That's the way to go. Y'all heard it here. I like it when you come on because this is where we go. And so you'll have to forgive us, loyal listeners. We can't touch every game this week. We'd be here till next Tuesday.
You know, I don't love every game this week, honestly.
I don't either.
This is when you get into the doldrums of the winter, like you said, where you're getting those huge spreads and some teams are don't give a shit anymore. And some teams are playing for something, and then some teams are just kind of middling around.
But sticking on to, so you pointed out this same game parlay alternate line and just the regular over. That's book specific, what you just mentioned. That's specific to a FanDuel. So, for example, what I'm about to say is even an organization like Caesars, who is going to have a significant, probably be the first to launch in Louisiana with the apps on January 15th, they don't offer what you just described.
It's going to be limited to FanDuel or DraftKings.
It's going to be limited to FanDuel and DraftKings. And that's why when I've talked about it on this show, I will say FanDuel is typically the best book among the apps.
There was a moment of
most places you'll be able to do it. Most places you'll be able to do it my way. And if you have FanDuel or DraftKings, you'll probably be, you know, DraftKings, you'll be able to do it T's way. But I think the 7-point teaser, keeping it simple, I like the 7-point teaser. Taking them 3.5, 10.5, taking the total from 44 to 37, taking the over. Next, Christmas doubleheader. Cleveland travels to Green Bay in the early game. Green Bay is a 7-point home favorite. That at the book I use is slightly juiced a little bit. That the odds on that are -115 versus Cleveland at -105. I clearly think Green Bay is going to win this game, but I'm not comfortable at all with the 7 here. And I have no emotions or predilections to 45.5 because this time of year in that environment is so weather specific, and Cleveland has been a big COVID mess for the last 7 to 10 days. This is going to be part of a two-way Christmas teaser for me. What's your thought on this game?
It's kind of a, I mean, I love the fact that this game's happening, and this year we're going to the in-laws for the first time, so this is going to be my savior. But aside from personal gain, this is a tough game for sure. It's getting high. It's up to 7.5 in some places. Yeah. Based on Action Network money tracking, you're looking at 99% of money on the Packers and 83% of bets.
Wow.
So no one has any faith whatsoever in Cleveland. The total's at 44. I don't really see any value there. I don't feel comfortable taking the Browns with really any points at this point, just because of all the things you mentioned with COVID and all the issues. The Packers, situationally speaking, they're 5-0 against the spread at home as a favorite. They are 11-3 against the spread in general. Uh-huh. They have the advantage on offense, defense. They're getting a little better odds to lay that chalk. So all of my, again, indicators that I use are pointing towards the Packers laying the points. I personally got it in at -7 2 days ago before the line moved anymore. So I like the Packers at a touchdown or anything less. Anything over that is probably just a no bet and do some props.
I like taking that Green Bay from 7 down to 1 via 6-point and pairing it with the next game, which is Indy, the late Christmas game. Indy traveling to Arizona. I'm seeing a pick 'em with my book. Total's 49. I've spoken out against Indy a lot this year. I've been watching them very closely now for several weeks, and I'm losing every time I bet against them. I feel like there's legit as far as running game and defense as a team can be. Carson Wentz is still Carson Wentz. You can't tell me he's not fake. I think he's, I just don't think he's real. He has a Carson Wentz-like play once or twice a game that just, he's kind of like a old boy that wears eyeliner for the Raiders,
David used car.
Yeah. But Arizona, I'm conflicted because in my system, it's that time of year where, we all were like, at one point was Arizona 10-3, they're just, and it's like, no. Kyler Murray's 5'9". He doesn't make it 20 weeks. It just doesn't happen. So I'm conflicted, but I'm leaning. My lean would be to Indy. But when I get to give Indy 6 points in this game and make it Indy +6 on the road, and I pair that with taking Green Bay from -7 to -1, I've got my Christmas teaser. I got a little Santa Christmas tease, a little stocking stuffer of a teaser.
Yeah, I'm going to ride that teaser with you. I actually like that a lot more than laying 7 with the Packers on their own. So I'll jump on that 100%. I like the Colts as is. I think this is a dangerous game for a few reasons. And the one, there's this trend this year that's actually pretty accurate in predicting the next game, about 65-ish%, in which a team that does not cover the prior week when they play a team that did cover, the team that did not cover the prior week covers this week at 65% of the time or so, which in this case would be the Cardinals, because they did not cover last week. They lost outright to the Lions. Colts covered against the Patriots on Saturday. I feel like everyone's going to be on the Colts, and whenever that happens, I am nervous. But I just don't really trust the Cardinals right now. No DeAndre Hopkins. Not that he's had that stellar of a statistical year. I don't think he's had 100 yards.
It's like
game.
The Saints not having MT.
But it's big enough where you're relying on Christian Kirk, AJ Green, who's what, 50, and Rondale Moore, the rookie, who's good. But I like the tease that you said, get him up to a 6 or 7, depending on what the line is. But if I had to pick this game outright, I like the Colts just to win. They've covered in what, 3 of their last 5. They're also 4-1 against the spread as on the road. So it's not just a in the dome kind of thing, even though this game is also in a dome or a retractable roof. But I think the Colts are the only play here. Total is a little high for me. So, and I don't love to bet unders unless it's an obvious one.
Right.
But
49.
I think the Christmas Billy Gunn teaser is the route here.
Give you something to do while you're at your in-laws. Because I like the timing and the sequence of teasers too, and you know that there's no sweat to that Green Bay bet. The Green Bay is no sweat. Taking it from -7 to -1, that's a no sweat, bro. No sweat. The sweat is in the zona. So now you'll have been at the in-laws for a few hours. You're like, all right, and then it's that gambling buzz is gonna kick in, and you're gonna be like, hell yeah.
You know, it adds another dimension to my gambling plan for the week. And the biggest piece, which is frustrating, is that the in-laws live a state over where we're going to be going is in Massachusetts, which there is no online gambling. Ooh. So I have to get all of my bets in tomorrow. I have to get 7 days worth of bets in, which I'm going to do a lot because there's nothing else to do for the next week.
Right.
And if this kind of kills two birds with one stone, right?
Yeah. It's the whole idea. A little Christmas, little Christmas teaser.
So I think
it's only -120. You know,
yeah, that's what
Tennessee is on the spread.
Yeah, that's the route. That's a good one. I like that. Let's do that. Where Colts were getting to 6 or 7, Packers down to 1 or 1.5.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. We've talked about 3 games so far, and I've talked you into 2 teasers. One of which is probably your own, like it's going to be your own variation of that teaser, but I think I've convinced you to do it.
Yeah, I might throw some extra on there. And you know what? I love seeing that plus sign.
Yeah.
Anytime I can get the plus sign, that's what I'm looking for. With I don't do props anything worse than -110.
Really?
Just don't feel a need. Doesn't give me the excitement or the rush.
I understand.
Or the payout, which is the most important.
I did that this past week on a lot of shitty quarterbacks to throw at least more than 1.5 touchdowns, and I felt the rush, but only cashed like 1 out of 3.
That's the catch-22. But I just, props are so unpredictable. You could have the biggest lock of the world and it doesn't hit. So I like to have the plus money on there. Just, you know, I do my fair share of Hail Mary props.
Yeah.
I did Hunter Renfrow over 99.5 yards against the Browns. Finished with like 40.
Wow.
But it was +225.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're taking some alternate. Yeah. Yeah.
I get in the lab a bit and start cooking up my own props and the alternates. But
that's perfectly acceptable that Hunter Renfrow would have caught for over 100 yards. He's been a surprising weapon for them.
He had 113 and 10 catches the week before.
Right.
And who else is going to catch the ball? Zay Jones. They don't have Waller.
What's the next game?
That game, but
what's the next game on the slate? Moving in order that you want to talk about.
I really like the Lions Falcons game. Not from
I do too.
From an entertainment standpoint.
That would be the next game that I would pick myself. Let's hear it. What's your thoughts on Detroit traveling to Atlanta? Let me just set the table. I'm seeing Detroit as a 5.5 point road dog. 42.5 is the total. -110 straight vig odds. Either way you go on this one, tell me about it. What you think?
Detroit is one of the best teams against the spread this year. Part of that, in full transparency, is because they've gotten some massive numbers. Also, they've been competitive, and their no-name defense is actually keeping a lot of games low scoring, which helps when you're an underdog. Of course, unders are an underdog's friend. So
that's a low total. 42.5 feels kind of low, but that's, like you said, Detroit's defense, low-key.
This is going to be a 17-13 game. Has to be. I don't see it going any other way. So with that, I have to go with the Lions. One, because I hate the Falcons. Two, they've done nothing to show that they're competitive the past few weeks. They don't play defense. They can't do anything on offense other than Cordarrelle Patterson. The Lions are playing with confidence. What, two of the last three they won? Getting almost a touchdown against a team that should not be favored against almost anyone else in the league, right, aside from maybe Jacksonville.
Right.
The Lions are the play here, and most of the money's on it. The Lions started at 7.5, dropped down to 6 and 5.5 in some places. So I think you want to get on this before it drops any further.
Yes, exactly. I'm with you, and I'm already on it. I'm on it. I caught it at 5.5.
Yep. This will be on my to-do list of hundreds of bets to put in before I travel.
You and I don't think so differently after all. I know
I
think
it's our shared Falcons hatred that's maybe biased, but I
see the Falcons for what they are. I will say this, though. I know there's a bias in my brain, because I was watching some Falcons game this week, and boy, I mean, when Matt Ryan gets sacked, doesn't he look like a fucking, like a baby deer? Like there's guys that look like douchebags when they get tackled or hit, but he's like the king of that. Like, he looks like such, he just gets fucking blown up, looking awkward, and beat the shit.
I mean, I think he's kind of at that point. He's old, and he's also just like, I think you can see he's like fed up with like the situation around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been favored twice at home this year, and they've lost both games outright in blowouts.
You think 28-3 broke him?
Oh, yes. Emotionally, physically, mentally, physically again.
28-3 in the Super Bowl. He lost it.
I don't love those jokes, I will say.
Oh, no, but I mean, you don't come back from that. Like, there's real effects. There's real effects.
It's like the Saints.
Broken Matt Ryan. What's the next game you're a big fan of?
Looking at my dossier here, I love the Chargers laying the chalk against the Texans.
What's it about? 10?
8.5, 9.5. Getting up there now, but anything under 10, I think the Chargers. Davis Mills, he lit up the Jaguars, so I won't put too much stock behind him, but he's got the longest neck in the league, so that says something about him. He really put his neck out there and compete.
I did well with the Texans this past week. I got them. That line fucking moved in an odd sequence of events. It started at Houston +3.5, and then Urban Meyer gets fired, and Houston becomes a bigger underdog. Jacksonville becomes a bigger favorite. They must have thought they were going to get that new coach bump, that king, ding dong, the witch is dead type of bump. And I was like, y'all are out of your fucking mind. This team still sucks.
Yeah, it's storyline betting, and that's every beginning bettor's like kryptonite.
Right. So I caught Houston +3.5. I caught Houston at +5.5. Shit, they went all the way to like 6, I think. And I put Houston as an underdog in one of my three-way money line parlay that hit. So I was excited to see. I still don't think Houston's like gonna do much in this game, but I can't. It feels to me, and why I'm laying off this game, is that the LA Chargers offense is kind of like a high wire act. That if things don't go right, it's kind of like the later years of Drew Brees. Like, if everything doesn't go right on this play, the whole fucking train comes off the rails. And I love watching Justin Herbert play. Man, that game last week between the Chiefs and the Chargers was so freaking enjoyable. That was a very fun Monday night football game. But I can't get involved in this game. But if I were to ask the question, what's keeping me away from this, is I'm going to have to say, is that Chargers high wire offense hitting the high wire? Are they hitting all their leaps and jumps on the trapeze tonight, or are they not? And I would pivot to an in-game bet if that was like, you know, I mean, and that's the storyline I would look for. How do they look on the first couple of possessions? But in order for it to work, are they going to commit to, like, are the Texans going to get some cheap points somewhere? Are there going to be some turnovers? Are there going to be some things that throw off the line, that upset the line, that in all those things? Let's not be naive. It's not like those things aren't baked into in-game live lines, but man, sometimes they really, like you said, it's more of a machine than any other line that's set out there. Any other odds that are generated, these in-game, in-play live lines are the ones that are truly coming from the machine. There's less time for Satan to react. You know, it's strictly the computers.
Yeah. I mean, that's a strategy here. It's just watch the first quarter. Hope that the Chargers maybe go down by 7 or at 0-0 still. Get him as a live underdog, as then you can bet the money line for big odds. I don't think you need to, but it's a way to go. There's two things about this game that, one, helps my Chargers pick, and two, that doesn't necessarily. One is that the Chargers are most susceptible to the run on defense. That's how they get beat. The Texans have the worst rushing offense in the league, so they won't be able to attack them where they're weakest. So that is really the biggest matchup I see that I like the Chargers. Two, which is a weird stat, but the Chargers are, up until this past loss to the Chiefs, they were 7-0 on odd numbered weeks. Week 1, week 3, week 5, so on. They had not lost a game until they played the Chiefs on week 15. They were 0-6 on even numbered weeks. So every other week they would win.
You're saying they're a yo-yo team.
Literally. To AT, they are a yo-yo team, and the fact that they win, lose for the entire year. Weird.
I'm going to say, like I said, to me, that's an example of, I would pivot to an end game, and you said wait at least through the first quarter. One key, if I could give any advice on end game and live, don't be in a hurry. You don't have to be in a hurry. Don't do it in the first quarter, right? Clearly, you don't do it in the first quarter. But you don't have, I mean, you'd be shocked. It's like, because all you're doing is gathering more data to make your decision. Because I'm an instinct guy, right? You're real big on numbers and trends. I'm more of a use the force, Luke, right? And so I factor in other numbery type things, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's more gut and insanity than anything else for me.
Yeah, I think so. I generally like to rely on the analytics I have at my disposal, but when it comes to in-game, I think that's pure feel for what's going on. You just, like you said, there's kind of not really some, you can't measure it. You just say, like, you know, I think the Chargers are starting to make a push here. They're down by 7, getting minus 105 odds on the money line or something like that. I generally do not like in-game spread betting unless I'm taking a favorite. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to confirm my suspicions about the favorite and what's happening. I'm not trying to read it both ways.
Right.
Or the, yeah, I mean, I'm picking a side and I'm going, what's happening here? What's the narrative in this game?
So you have a predetermined narrative that you're hoping this game fills and you can make money on.
I'm looking for turnovers and field position. I'm looking for who's playing like shit and who's not playing like shit. Turnovers and field position. No, there's a bias. I mean, the pregame favorite it's almost like a baseline. One's a favorite, one's an underdog, but that's your anchor that you pivot from. That's because you're trying to improve your value. The example I gave of my successful in-game wager last night on the Tuesday night game was closing line was Philly minus 10. Reset line was minus 4.5. Two turnovers to zero. You're out of your mind. It's a flaw. And so don't feel obligated to in-game. Maybe you and I take for granted we shouldn't have to say this. Don't feel obligated to fuck. I mean, we're not afraid to bet a game, to not bet a game. You don't have to fucking bet in game. But if it's there, that's the things you look for. And when people are sitting on their couches in late January in Louisiana, or when you're back from Massachusetts, you know, you're sitting in your man cave, you can do it.
There's a big difference, I think, in how you handle it. One is, like, as you mentioned, you get a feel of the game. There's weird things that are happening, but you're still pretty confident in one way or the other. And then there's the chasing aspect, which gets slippery quick.
Yeah.
Where you've laid chalk, or you took in points, whatever, and you're like, I got to make this back. So I'm going to double up on the same team, mm-hmm. hoping that both of them win, and you lose both, and you're in an even deeper hole.
Yeah. No, I don't even want to. Right. And that's, I don't want to advocate that at all, because chasing is a whole, it's chasing is kind of a negative quality of the sports wagering experience. But the last thing I want to say on it is, to me, it's obviously and clearly we take for granted. It's about selection. Which game am I going to? Because if you're going to in-game bet, you need to be watching that game. Don't just be red zoning it. Don't be seeing it on the Game Day app or the Yahoo Sports app. You need to be watching that game. You need to be with your own eyes understanding the narrative.
100%. I agree with you on that.
See it in how they're fucking hit. You can see it in how they're hitting each. You can see who woke up on the right side of the bed and who woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You can see that shit. It's why the Jets beat fucking, you know, Buffalo or whatever the fuck happened. It's why good teams lose to bad teams. Detroit beats Arizona handily.
There are teams that just have off days. We've seen it with the Saints plenty of times where they lose to bad teams this year alone. And there's also the momentum factor. You can feel the momentum shifting, and you want to get on that in terms of a live bet before it actually hits.
Right. Because the machines can't sense momentum.
I'm sure there's a way in some sort of algorithm that they probably do now with how screwed up our technology is, but there's nothing.
Well, fuck of a naive statement.
You sound like one of those old baseball heads who hate analytics.
Yeah.
Like, I need a manager who's going to manage, not read a book.
That's right. I've only got one more game that I'm exceptionally excited about before we talk about the Saints. And that's the Rams of Los Angeles traveling to Minnesota. The Rams are coming in. I see it as a 3-point favorite on the road. Total on the game is 49.5. I think this is the Rams see an opening here. Tampa Bay has lost. Arizona has lost. The Rams have had a lot of players out with COVID. Just about everybody's going to be coming back from COVID. They're going to have all the COVID out of their system for a minute. Everybody's all been all COVIDed up and out. And Minnesota, while Dalvin Cook is amazing, he just can't do it all by himself. And Kirk Cousins had one of those, you know, they have career-ending plays, like, oh, the time Namath got his shit broken, or, you know, LT got Joe Montana and fucking ruined him. That interception by Kirk Cousins that he just threw to nobody, that, like, he probably won't be back in Minnesota next year because of that pass.
That was fugly. I don't even want to make an excuse like the receiver fell down or anything. It was like a punt. He used the term moonball. He threw it high, like a lofting fade route to the middle of the field.
There was nobody in his face. Nobody, not more than any decent pressure on an NFL game. Nobody hit his arm. He just lost it. And so I feel like the Rams only giving away 3 here, even though on the road, feels like a gift to me. This is a This is a let's go take care of business. We've been here before game for a lot of guys on that team, but chiefly Matt Stafford, who's very rarely been there. There were times in the middle of his career where they were, the Detroit Lions were a playoff team, but I mean, the Rams have been ready to answer the call week after week. They had a couple two-game losing streak in there at one point. That's not happening now. This is a taking care of business game for the Rams. What's your thoughts?
This is a no bet for me because I have a really severe conflict of interest on the game. And the fact that I'll say, really would like the Rams to win in terms of Saints playoff hopes.
Right.
So I have a hard time betting on a team that I want to lose, especially when the spread is so short at 2.5 or 3. I did the data today. I ran all my analytics. And I think the Vikings are the play if you have to go, so I'm not going to play at all. Yes, they look terrible against the Bears. 89% of the money is on the Vikings, while almost 90% of the bets are on the Rams. So you're literally – that's one of the strongest indicators I usually rely on is that if you get that much of a – of the opposite spectrums on those where you're getting a high ticket count, but a high money count on the other team. I like the money. Obviously it's usually a sign of sharp betting and smart bettors. The projected scores based on stuff I run is only looking at like 2.5, which is right where it is. So usually when it's that tight, I like the dog. So I'm going to not bet the total. I see zero value in the Vikings have had plenty of games where they scored like last week, 16, they've scored plenty. They've had plenty of those, like, goose eggy 20-point and under games. And the Rams have too. They just went under with the Seahawks. I don't see any value on the over. I think the only play here is potentially the under 49 or the Vikings. I'm nervous about the under because then this could be one of those games where Aaron Donald and that Rams defense shuts down Dalvin Cook and it becomes the Kirk Cousins show. It's not a primetime game, so he can't melt in front of a ton of people. He's had moments where he can, I don't want to say light it up, it's a little generous, but be competent. So I don't really see much value anywhere in this game. It's just more of a pure enjoyment, root for the Rams to help us kind of game. I'm sorry to rain in your parade of.
No, that's okay. You don't have to bet it. I will. I'm getting some of this money over here. You don't have to. If you want none of this money, you don't have to get none of it.
This week I said at the top of the show that it's not.
I don't believe in peer pressure. I don't believe in peer pressure, bro. You don't.
I feel peer pressured. Like I have indirect peer pressure right now. I feel like you're having all this fun, and I'm looking through the window. Like, look at Billy having all this fun betting on this Rams Vikings game.
Well, because I've listened to some podcasts. I mean, I don't think you're a heavy heavy analytics guy. I have listened to some sports wagering podcasts out there that are fucking ridiculous, over the top analytics system guys, and I'm like, you just took all the fun out of this shit, and I don't know how you did because it's a fun thing. Being up 21 units is fun, you know. You hitting that Saints money line on Sunday was fun, and I saw all your other shit. You went like 8-1 or something. That's fun. But when you start talking, like when these guys on these other pods start talking all the analytics, like to the extreme, maybe I am like that old baseball manager, man. You know,
you
but like
data.
I like data, but I don't. It's like I don't just want to make it all about data.
No,
there's got to be some heart. There's got to be some feel.
Yeah, no, 100%. I would say you hit it spot on in that I'm a mix of the feel and the numbers. I don't love to rely too much on data, but I look at certain things that have worked out for me well historically and use those as like indicators or like red flags for a side. And then of course I always make the final choice on feel.
Yeah.
So it's a mix. A hybrid.
You're hybrid. You're hybrid. You're hybrid. You're like a little bit of indica, a little bit of sativa.
Here we go.
That's right. All right. You ready to talk about the Saints?
I haven't looked at this game at all.
You don't have to.
I know.
You're not going to bet it. And I am probably not going to bet this game either at all. Unless, I mean, dude, I bet a Kamara total, either receiving or rushing every week. I actually lost a Kamara rushing yards total this week. He didn't hit the over.
It's like,
right?
30 yards total, like all purpose.
If they toss some stupid shit out there again, like that Taysom Hill completions line anywhere in the neighborhood north of 17, get out of my fucking way. I'm coming. But otherwise, I don't really like. The Saints are a 3-point home favorite to the Miami Dolphins. I'm seeing it at my book. The Saints are juiced up a little bit, -115 as that 3-point home favorite. Total on the game is 38.5. I don't like to bet totals in Saints games at all. That's just I don't like that. I am slightly tempted at the team total for Miami at 17.5, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, I wanted to. I before I saw that line, I'm like, I want to bet whatever this team total is. And then when I saw it at 17.5, I don't like that. And so I'm not, I mean, because that could very easily be a 20 or an 18 or any kind of nonsense. I'm staying away from that one too. I'm going to be in the dome Monday night. I'm going to be there for the blackout where, you know, representing. But I got nothing. I think the Saints are going to win this game. I think the Saints went out and make the playoffs is what I think happens. They're going to be a favorite. Obviously, they're favorite in this game. They're already a 7-point favorite against Carolina next week, and there is no look-ahead line for the Falcons finale. What's your thoughts? I know you don't even have any gambling thoughts because you're not allowed to. You don't allow yourself to.
I don't even allow those thoughts to creep into my mind.
But here's what, again, it's the catch-22, T, is that this is the team you know more about.
I know I'm biased.
You don't want to fuck with the bias, right?
You know, when I see people ragging on the Saints online on Twitter, if it's someone within quote-unquote Saints Twitter, it doesn't bother me. Whenever you get someone outside of our sphere of knowledge, you get the national, you get the Stephen A. Smiths that clearly don't watch every game or watch every stupid Saints Twitter
practice
video.
Those guys don't
video.
Appear to watch any fucking games. Their takes are shitty. They're just trolls, I'm convinced. They're just getting shitty takes.
So that bugs me when someone like, only I'm allowed to beat up on the Saints. Yeah. No one else is, as far as I'm concerned. Same thing with gambling. I want them to win. I have an idea of how this game is going to play out. I think it's going to be low scoring, just like every other Saints game probably will be for the rest of the year. It's the only way they're going to win. Tua doesn't light it up. He's a dink and dunk, high percentage guy.
I've been watching a lot of Tua because I watch a lot of Dolphins football for some reason. And Tua's, God, he's bizarre. I've grown to actually root for Tua. Because I think he's a nice guy and he loves his mom and dad and he loves Jesus and there ain't a bad bone in his body. But I'm still not 100% convinced he's an NFL quarterback. There's just something. And, you know, you could say I don't consider him as much of a scrambler or a mobile threat as some other people. And there's he does this. Him being a left-hander really, really influences a lot. He does some weird shit when he's going to his left versus his right, and it is fascinating to watch.
Who was the quarterback who had the really intense dad? They did an ESPN documentary on a few years ago. Was it Todd Marinovich?
Todd Marinovich.
He's the Hawaiian Todd Marinovich. His dad is like super strict.
His dad beats the shit out of him. Yeah, if he did, yeah, yeah.
So I, like you said, I find myself being like not sympathy, but like rooting for him to succeed. One, he seems like a nice guy. Two, I don't want him to get beat up when he goes home for the holidays.
Right.
He's not the one. His favorite target was Waddle. He's on COVID issue, I think. And then Mike Gesicki is his other big guy, the tight end. He was pretty athletic. He's pretty good, jump ball, red zone kind of guy. Who is going to match up with him on the Saints? Is it going to be CeeDee Deuce? Is it going to be a PJ Williams? Is it going to be... I pray to God it's not Malcolm Jenkins. He's been getting absolutely toasted in coverage this year. He looks his age. So I'm praying it's CeeDee, but CeeDee's not really that great in coverage either. Yeah, he had a pick against the Bucs, but he's not. He's a lot more bark than bite.
I don't think Tua's going to be. I mean, again, I'm not going to get involved with this game other than if it's right out there. But as a Saints fan, as a fan of the Saints, I was telling a friend of mine the other day about this. All year long with the Saints, I've been like forgiving. Like, I haven't had crazy expectations. I have not gotten angry. I've not like been fucked. I haven't. These next three games, to me, feel like now I give a shit. If the Saints lose to the Dolphins on Monday night, that's unacceptable to me, because we're better than that. We know what we are now, even with the injuries and all the adversity and everything else. When they if stupid things happen, mistakes, penalties, turnovers, like, these next three games, those are the ones I'll get mad at. These are the ones I'll hold them accountable as a fan. Everything up till now, honestly, I really don't. It's just been a crazy fucking ride this year.
Spot on. That's exactly how I feel. I couldn't have said it any better. When Jameis was there and he was playing well and they were 5-2, I was excited. I was happy. I was optimistic for the year. He gets hurt. I was like despondent in the middle of that game when he got hurt.
Yeah, it felt like a really tarnished victory. Everybody's like, "Woo, we beat the Colts." I'm like, "Yeah, but we don't have a chance to go to the Super Bowl now."
Yeah, and I've had arguments with people online about that. Where like, "Oh, the ultimate goal is a Super Bowl. That's why I watch the team. I want them to win every game possible. And if there's no hope of that, it's tough to really get hyped up for it." So that stretch of Simeon, with the Bills game on Thanksgiving, right? Flew 1,000 miles to see him play and put up 6 points. That was the final, like, this is not our year. I'll watch every game, but I'm not really have any expectations. Now, it's past two wins. The Bucs win was the one that's like, okay, we have a chance now. We know what they are as a team. We know how they have to win. These next three games, I am watching them with full vigor of we're going to the playoffs and we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about. It's all about, to me, the playoffs as a Saints fan, that is the standard. If it's been a good season or it's been a bad season.
Yeah. There's been years where, like, the past four years, where they're, what, you go on, like, those 8-game runs, 10-game runs. Towards the end, I'm like, okay, could we just have the playoffs start? I'm getting a little bored.
Yeah.
This is now, like, if we make the playoffs, it would be a major victory in my mind with how this year is going.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And it's there, and the Bucs game really opened the door to it. And although we don't, air quotes, control our own destiny right now, we are really 1 week away from controlling our own destiny.
100%. And because you do the mental simulations in your head when you're like, oh, they could win this game, they'll lose that game. I think I can speak for a lot of Saints fans when we figured we would go 3-1 in these last four.
Yeah,
I thought we'd lose to the Bucs.
Every step of the way, I thought we'd run the table out, and I've never lost sight of that.
Well, you're a better fan than I, but I just told
myself. The last three.
Right. So these next three, I'm very confident in. You get Dolphins, who are going to be your toughest opponent, aside from Atlanta, just purely in their rivalry.
Right.
If they have a chance to prevent us from going from the playoffs, Jesus, that's going to be their Super Bowl, and I'm a little nervous for that.
Well, to be fair, we look bad against Atlanta because Atlanta, there's a familiarity thing. The guy that now runs the Falcons organization came from the Saints, and they know how to beat us. Same way we know how to beat the Bucs. They know how to beat us.
Right. Now, and it's what, like, not to get into trends with them, but like Sean Payton has pretty much owned the Falcons as long as he's been here. Except for recently, it feels like they've been playing much tougher than they had in past years.
The first meetup was scary because they you could tell a man that was very deep within the Saints brain trust now is steering the ship for the Falcons. So, you know.
So, but this game here, it's the Saints to lose. If they put up 20 points, they win. That's how I look at it.
I think so too. And I think they will. And I think 20-17 is as likely as anything. You know what I mean? And that, yeah, it takes it right under the, I mean, the Vegas spreads are like 20, I think that's what it is, 27, 20 to 17 and a half. And then totals anywhere 38, 38 and a half. I'm not touching it. I believe the Saints are going to win. I hope the Saints are going to win. And if they don't win, I will be upset.
100%. Especially if it's a night game. I hate night games.
Yeah.
Because then you're 1 o'clock. You have all day to cool off.
Much. Oh, I'm going. I mean, I'm going. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be late night.
Exactly. You're up late and then you watch them lose. And now you're awake and wired because you're pissed. And yeah, you've watched more. Most likely it's going to be a close, stressful game for the whole run.
That's right.
How they always play. So right, it's not like they get.
Yeah, they're not going to run away with Taysom at the helm.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to put up 40 in the first half and then we can just go on cruise control. But
it'll be a sweaty game.
That is, you know what? That's what you sign up for with this stupid team.
Yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a football gambling intensive show. What, some of the most fun I've had all season doing this. Because we both know our shit, and it's fun to talk to a real nuts and bolts gambling guy. So, dude, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. It was awesome meeting you. I met your mother, Pels game, just before the night before Thanksgiving, and that was really, really sweet, man. It's cool. We've been friends for a while, met via podcasting and Saints fandom and Twitter, and meet somebody in real person. You know, I mean, I look forward to seeing you many more times as you come to New Orleans. So, is there anything you want to get to tonight that we didn't cover?
You know, I think we hit on it all. I think the the theme of kind of everything we talked about is look at the live betting is it might come into play a lot more this week because a lot of the initial spreads and totals are not all that valuable, I'll say. Right. So keep your eye on the pulse and don't bet on games you're not watching.
I hear you. Well, dude, say goodnight to all the beautiful people listening and taking the over with us.
Good night to all of the taking the over. Do you have a name for your fans?
We call them overtakers.
Good night, overtakers. It's been a pleasure to share my limited knowledge with all of you, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Excellent, dude. Thank you for your time and for coming on. And we'll see you guys next week. Cheers, loves, hugs, byes.
Yeah,
this cat, dude.